The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston, your guest host for today's show. I know I said if you listened to the program on Friday, I gave you the upcoming schedule, but I did put a qualifier on there that that is always subject to change, and change it did. This should be my last show for a while. Mr. Brent Noctegal should be on the program Tuesday, and then after that, we'll be getting back into our normal routine with Mr. Stephen Fleury delivering you the show live each day. Any comments for the show, send those to td@thetrumpet.com. If you want any of the free literature on the program, you can call our toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. I've got quite a variety of different stories to get to on today's show. Some of these stories are pretty heavy. Some of them, hopefully there will be lighter moments as well. But really, you're just going to jump right into the show, right into the content here. And it's a subject that Mr. Stephen Fleury commented on quite a bit a couple weeks ago, just about God's view of Israel's, modern Israel, America, the United States, and Britain, God's view of those sins that we parade around, that we're so proud of in these nations, that we declare. And, well, we've experienced Pride Month, the month of June, celebrating sin, celebrating perversion. And one thing that Mr. Fleury touched on was this new movie called Sound of Freedom. And really, as I was looking into this, I found out it's not actually a new movie. It was finished in the year 2018. I'll talk a little bit about what delayed the release of that movie. But it's a difficult movie. I haven't watched it. I'm not sure if I plan on watching it. I think I've read enough about it. But it's about a former government official who worked to bust these child sex trafficking rings. And this man, he wrote a book, and then this story, this movie is loosely based on some of the things that he went through. Now, obviously, this is a movie. Things get dramatized. From what I've read, they actually do very little of that in this movie. Again, it's called Sound of Freedom. This had huge box office results over the weekend. This is from Newsweek. It says, Sound of Freedom beats Indiana Jones in incredible box office coup. It says, Sound of Freedom, co-written and directed by Alejandro Monteverde, cost $14.5 million to make, according to the Wall Street Journal. By today's standard, this is a pittance compared to the massive movie budgets assigned to your regular summer blockbusters that are often north of $100 million. The movie box office website Box Office Mojo confirmed that Sound of Freedom outperformed Indiana Jones on Tuesday, July 4th. It says, while the fifth Indiana Jones movie made $12 million, Sound of Freedom made almost its entire budget back, $14.2 million. And then it talks about just how horribly a lot of the other movies performed. People are interested in this subject. And based on the review from Democrats, they are too. And it seems like they're a bit nervous about a movie, you know, raising awareness about this issue. And like I said, it's about a heavy subject. It's about modern-day slavery. And the way the left started just whitewashing this movie really says a lot about how fearful they are of this subject being talked about, being exposed. This article from the BBC News, this is from 2012, talks about how modern slavery, there are more people enslaved today than there were when the peak of the the slave trafficking industry or the slave trade in the 18th century, 17th century. Mr. Joel Hilliker writes in this 2018 Trumpet article titled, "Slavery is a Modern Problem. Here is the Solution." He says, "The truth is more people are in slavery today than at any time in history. Slavery is a pandemic across the globe. The International Labor Organization estimates that 45.8 million people in 167 countries around the world are currently enslaved. This is more than three times the total number of Africans who were shipped to the Americas during the entire 360-year history of the New World slave trade." He writes, "This means that one out of every 166 people on Earth today is a slave." And this is booming industry. It's awful. It's sobering to read into what's happening. And you don't see it, really. I mean, I think often about, you know, just all of the sickness around, like Mr. Fleury talked about, that's just going on in the darkness. I know I-35, that's near campus here. That's a heavy corridor for drug trafficking. And it's just a mile or two from where we live here. And to think about what's in the back of these trucks as they're traveling up I-35 on their way to Chicago or any of those other cities in the Midwest, coming up from the border. And you don't see it. There's just so much sickness in this nation. And then when you start to peel a little bit of it back, maybe you just make a movie about one incident. I mean, as far as I know, this movie is not even, you know, exposing this whole industry that contains millions of slaves. It's just about one little girl. And it's raising awareness about a sin. And a lot of people are curious, you know, why does this not get more coverage? Why are we talking about Donald Trump's boxes at Mar-a-Lago all the time when little children are being taken advantage of and being taken advantage of by people in high places? First off, this movie, like I said earlier, is finished back in 2018. It was produced by 20th Century Fox. Not long after they produced that movie, Disney bought 20th Century Fox, and they would not release this movie. They just clamped it down. It wasn't going to go anywhere. And that really says everything you need to know about how impactful and serious this movie is. Finally, I think the producer of the movie had to get involved and twist their arm to get the rights to the movie back, and then another studio stepped in and is publishing the movie. But it's amazing how much the funding came in for them to run the publicity campaigns. I think they needed $5 million to just run it through these theaters. I don't even think it's running very long. I think it might just be a few days in a select amount of theaters. They needed $5 million. They raised it right away. Of course, Disney would squash a movie like that. These are some examples from the left responding to the content matter of this movie. This is from Miles Klee at Rolling Stone. The title of this article is "Sound of Freedom is a Superhero Movie for Dads with Brainworms." The QAnon tincture thriller about child trafficking is designed to appeal to the conscience of a conspiracy addled boomer. As if it's just based on lies. It's meant to make you think this is happening all over the place, and it really isn't. Now, they turn these things. They make it more. I'm struggling to say that the way I want to. They take this little truth. This is the left's view on this, and then the QAnons come around and they expose or they blow it up into something that it really shouldn't be, and it fulfills, you know, what the right wing really want to view of the Democrats. And they dismiss the truth in that movie as if it doesn't happen or it's really not that bad. It's not worth making a movie about, even though they'll make a movie about every gross thing you can think of, every gross, disgusting, non-reality-based thing you can think of. And here's something that raises awareness about a serious issue plaguing our world. And they just, just totally blown out of proportion. The lead actor, he's into conspiracy theories. This isn't that bad. It's not happening. Well, again, that response, that reaction tells you everything you need to know. Washington Post, big Washington Post, their article titled, there is Sound of Freedom is a box office hit whose star embraces QAnon. Again, it's just a conspiracy theory. You know, the truth, that's a conspiracy theory. Of course, there are going to be parts of a movie that are dramatized. But like I said, it doesn't sound like even in this movie that a lot of it is that way. It's loosely based, or in this case, mostly based on a true story. But rather than drawing attention to that horrific evil, Washington Post couldn't come out and say, movie raises awareness about sex trafficking and, you know, people are just flocking to try to solve this issue, or government steps in to clamp down on this issue. Let's address it. Let's fight it. It's not really happening, or it's not that bad, or they over-dramatized it. Again, tells you everything you need to know. And really, when they go off on something like that, calling it a conspiracy theory, give it 6 months, and you'll find out, you know, how real and accurate all of that is. This is a clip from CNN reacting to this movie. Again, it's shocking. This was an independently published film now, pretty low budget, and it's attracting, you know, big CNN, cable news network. They want to talk about this movie. Again, seems like they're a little nervous about the subject matter. This is clip one.
And you seem pretty familiar with him because he doesn't really hide his association with this real wild plot that involves, you know, drinking the blood of children and things like that.
No, he doesn't hide it at all. And you have a lot of people who are in this world of QAnon who say, oh, they don't know what that is. They've never heard of it. They're just asking questions. With somebody like Jim Caviezel, he is openly embracing it. He's openly using its catchphrases and its concepts. He's speaking at QAnon conventions. And this film is being marketed to either specific QAnon believers or to people who believe all of the same tenets as QAnon but claim they don't know what it is.
And The Sound of Freedom does focus on a real issue of sex trafficking. But that theme, it's sort of like that kernel of truth that feeds the QAnon conspiracy theory. Tell us how those two things work together.
Sure. And the most durable and the most believable conspiracy theories are not entirely false. There's something in them that is true and the rest of it is false. But the believers point to the one true thing and they say, oh, you don't believe that this particular thing is true. In terms of child trafficking, we know trafficking is real. We know it has real victims. No one is denying that. But these films are created out of moral panics. They're created out of bogus statistics. They're created out of fear. And with something like Sound of Freedom, it specifically is looking at QAnon concepts of these child trafficking rings that are run by the high-level elites and only people like Tim Ballard and only people like Jim Caviezel and by extension only people like the ticket buyer can help bring these trafficking rings down. So there's a very participatory element. You're not just going to see a movie, you're just killing 2 hours on a hot day. You are helping bring down these pedophile rings and save children. Now, it's not true, but it's a very comforting and it's a very warm feeling to have.
How is that the takeaway from a movie on this subject? I mean, even there where he says it's about these elite rings of sex traffickers, like Jeffrey Epstein, the Clintons on the Lolita Express, and Bill Gates, it sounds like there's quite a bit of truth to it. And the takeaway from CNN is there's a kernel of truth to it, but they're just pandering. They're blowing it up into something, even if it's just one, and it's not. It's millions of children. You would think they would be, you know, running to petition the government to clamp down on this. Instead, I can't even totally follow the logic that CNN was making there. Well, here's why you shouldn't see this movie, because it just fulfills all of these QAnon dreams of what they think America really is. I mean, we've CNN, they've had a couple producers get arrested for dabbling in sex trafficking and pedophilia. New York Post, second ex-CNN staffer under investigation for alleged crimes involving minors. This was Jake Tapper's show. His top producer was trying to get he was paying a mother to traffic, to fly out her 9-year-old so that she could be raped by him. And CNN obviously doesn't want to talk about that. And then you've got a second staffer at CNN getting caught for similar crimes. A former CNN producer is reportedly under investigation for serious allegations involving potential juvenile victims. The second network staffer to be investigated for crimes involving minors. This is from December of 2021. Talks about, again, I don't need to get into all of those details. But this is happening. This is the perversion in the United States of America. And it's in the dark. And once some low-budget movie kind of just starts to shed a little light on it, they go crazy. They don't want to be exposed. They call it a conspiracy theory. Oh, it's not that bad. So they write off the entire thing. They dismiss the entire thing. Isaiah 3 in verse 9 says, "The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their souls, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." They hide it not. I mean, you see this with all of these sins. You know, it starts in the darkness. It's quiet. You don't hear about it that often. And then suddenly, there's a whole month celebrating this thing. And it's pushed on you and pushed on you. You're supposed to accept it as normal. You're supposed to celebrate it. And you're not allowed not to accept it. They did hide it. Now they hide it not. They want you to declare it. They force you. They intimidate you into celebrating it with them. This is an article from the Star News Network. So it's titled, "Nation's Largest Teachers Union Vows to Embrace Radical LGBTQ Agenda in Government Schools." It says, delegates at the National Education Association's annual representative assembly in Orlando, Florida, passed a measure this week that pledged the union will organize against what it perceives as anti-LGBT, so many letters, legislation and so-called book banning, as it also bolsters protection for LGBT teachers. The measure addresses the prevalence of discrimination and violence. Again, a bunch of, it's just so many acronyms, it's hard to read that fluidly. And at any rate, this measure from the biggest teachers union in the country is dedicating, their largest budget item now is to address discrimination or these book bannings. I mean, you want to, Gavin Newsom, talking about, he was in Idaho, I think, I'm not sure what he's doing, planning a campaign, and he's visiting a bookstore that has a whole bookshelf dedicated to buying banned books. And he goes in there to make a show of his, and he's flipping through them. Oh, I can't believe this is the stuff that's banned. And then everyone on Twitter is like, yeah, it's so banned that you're prohibited from going into a bookstore to buy it. It shouldn't be read by children. That's the argument. Don't put it in the library. Don't put it in the curriculum. And on the subject of book banning, try to read a Bible in a public school. You'll see what a real book ban is. They're spending $600,000. This is this NEA school union. The most expensive measure voted on during the assembly. This is from Breitbart. Largest teachers union in the United States blasted for promoting pornographic kids book. Dissolve the teachers unions. That's their take. The country's largest teachers union is facing backlash after adding to its summer reading list a children's book. I'm not even going to say what's in that book. This is the same teachers union, NEA. The book is titled Gender Queer, which features explicit drawings of teens performing sexual acts, added it to its summer reading list. And these are the people responsible for educating little children, kindergarten, preschool. We heard in a sermon here at headquarters over the weekend about one province in Canada where it's illegal really not to support the LGBT agenda. You have to celebrate it. You have to promote it. Fox News. California school district suspends kids for 5 days for misgendering trans student. A California school district suspended 2 children for 5 days after a misgendering incident took place and then subjected them to a training called restorative justice, according to an email reviewed by Fox News Digital. The email was sent by a recently departed principal of Herbert Hoover High School located in the Glendale Unified School District. It was first reported by a group called Parents Voices. The former principal, Jennifer Earle, described 2 students who misgendered a transgender student and then ran away as the teacher attempted to correct them. 5 days and then this weird Orwellian social training class. When I was in high school, when kids would get in a physical altercation, that was always a max 3-day suspension. Obviously, I shouldn't say max. Some kids, it would be so bad that they would just get expelled. But physical fighting, harm, that was 3 days. These kids didn't want to call a boy a girl. They called a boy a boy. They honored and respected a very basic and fundamental elementary truth that little children can see. And because they didn't want to play the game and call a boy a girl, they are suspended from school for 5 days and forced to take a training course called restorative justice. And this is in the same country where the kids, they'll attack teachers and they won't get suspended. Teachers are in fear in the inner cities. Drugs and violence permeate these schools, but we don't want to suspend them because it's structural racism that made them do that. So punishing them for those crimes would make it worse. Meanwhile, if you're just a normal person and you don't want to call a boy a girl, you're out. That's real justice in the United States. Recent Trumpet magazine is packed with heavy, heavy articles on this subject. Subscribe if you haven't done that already. It's a free magazine. It's the best magazine you can read in the world. The Trumpet magazine. This one is about Pride Month. And Mr. Hilliker, he has an article in there called Queer Pressure. He says, transgenderism is swallowing our schools and our children. People with deeply twisted goals for our children know that if they can get them young, they can transform society, and they are getting them young in our schools. I encourage you to read those articles. Get God's perspective on this subject. It is a battle. It's a fight to stand up for truth. There's hope in those articles. There's truth in those articles that you won't read anywhere else. I think about that every time I'm doing news research. I have, you know, my list of websites that I go to, and it's been really something to watch Fox News change over the years to where they happily will call a man who says he's a woman. They'll just refer to that man as her. It's in the titles, and it comes with all of the transgender stuff, just embracing all of that. And it's that spirit of compromise. Well, we just don't want to offend anyone. It's all right. And then they get so off in all of these other areas because they don't have a backbone to stand up to it. Very few news outlets do, and none of them are as accurate or as fundamentally based on truth as the Trumpet. I was thinking about this subject a lot at a recent Celtic Throne concert. I was able to bring my son along, And we were in the city, and we arrived pretty early to the theater, and I noticed that there was a children's museum just on the street. So I thought I'd take my son down there. He's four. I took him down there for about an hour and a half. Again, it's a children's museum. It's meant for kids, like little toddlers, you know, up to ages, you know, 9 or 10. And most of it was fine. And then we got to this arts and crafts section, and it's just banners of the, I don't even know what to call it now, the flag with the rainbow and the gray and black and triangle on it. And that's all there. And then all of these flags that kids had colored in. And then there's a whole poster explaining how meaningful that flag is. And there's nothing for the American flag, even though the 4th of July is less than 2 weeks away at this point. And it just, it almost ruined my day. I was so happy because I got to leave that place and go see Celtic Throne. And again, another plug for that show. I mean, you want to talk about something that will uplift you and show you hope. You know, when you're immersed in a world filled with perversion, go and see Celtic Throne. Watch it online. Listen to that music. Even the theater where that concert was, I didn't notice it when I walked in. As we were leaving, they had all the pillars out in front of the theater lit up with the rainbow flag. Mr. Hilliker writes, "To solve the broad problem, God must step in, and he promises to do exactly that. The prophecies about the God of this world being cast down and running rampant on earth are being fulfilled, and they immediately precede the prophesied return of Jesus Christ. He is coming to take control and establish God's government, the only system that can establish a wonderful worldwide system of education that will build strong families and help every child reach his or her God-given potential. He is already sowing the seeds of that educational program today within his true church. We need to pray daily, Thy kingdom come. Seeing the cruel realities of what Satan is doing in the world should fuel the urgency and fervency of that prayer." And it's something a lot of people are upset about, but it's also something a lot of people just compromise with. I think of that quote Mr. Fleury mentioned from Paul Ryan. "I don't like the culture wars. I argue policy." What do you say in response to the evils that a movie like Sound of Freedom raises awareness about? "I don't like to get into that. I want to talk about policy." The immorality in this country, I mean, it's head to toe, like it says in Isaiah. I mean, going right to the White House, the story about cocaine being found in the White House, I think everybody knows, points the finger at one person when an incident like that comes up. It's the big White House whodunit. Where did the cocaine come from? And then there's this video. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm not going to play it. Hunter Biden's on the balcony with his family. It definitely looks like something suspicious is going on there. The fake president of the United States. "This is the smartest man I've ever met." It's stunning to me that it's even the dead giveaway that it's probably, I'll still say probably, I won't come down that hard on Hunter Biden. The dead giveaway that it's probably him. It's been over a week. This is the White House. We were in Washington, D.C. recently. You can't drive within like 5 blocks of that building. The entire thing is fenced in. There's security everywhere. There's no place on earth, I suspect, where there are more cameras. There's supposed to be a visitor's log, and that's supposed to be public. I can't imagine how many cameras are in that building. I can't imagine what the security is like to get in there. And somebody snuck cocaine into that building, and the all-powerful intelligence community of the United States of America has no idea how it got there. And they can spy on you for a little transaction. They can cancel your credit card. They can find out right where you were on January 6th because they can track your cell phone. They know if you were inside that door or outside of it. And they will raid your house if you're a 69-year-old woman who stepped 2 feet into that building on that day and walked right out. but they can't figure out who it is? Of course they can. And it's just like all of the other Hunter Biden's kids. That's just Russian disinformation. The laptop isn't real. That's from Giuliani. That's just Russian propaganda right out of the Kremlin. And the dead giveaway is it's been a week and we don't know who it is. So we'll probably never know officially who it was. And there is the dead giveaway. We all know who it was. Imagine this happening in the Trump White House. How suddenly all of the Democrats would have this moral backbone about purity in the White House, and how Donald Trump is defiling the White House and his family is bringing shame on the people's house. Here is a clip of the media reacting to this scandal here. And just notice how, you know, the White House just brushes it off, and the media themselves, well, we don't really care if it doesn't get resolved. This is clip two.
I'm just asking again, can you just say once and for all whether or not the cocaine belonged to the Biden family?
So, a couple of things there. Not true. We've answered this question, litigated this question for the last 2 days exhaustively. You know, there has been some irresponsible reporting about the family. The Biden family was not here. They were not here. They were at Camp David. They were not here Friday. They were not here Saturday. They were not here Sunday. They were not even here Monday. They came back on Tuesday. So to ask that question is actually incredibly irresponsible.
The investigation is still underway, as we know, and the timeline could still be fluid, but as of now, it is still very much on track to end early next week. And all that we have heard up to this point is that it just may be very difficult to identify who brought this in and then how it got in to begin with.
So just to be clear, it might end without answers, right?
That's right. Okay.
And we have been told, political by Secret Service folks for days, that we may never know who is the person who left this behind, dropped it, it fell out their bag, threw it away, whatever the case may be, which, you know, you talk to folks used to work in the White House. They find that a little hard to believe. There are a lot of cameras everywhere in this White House. And so they're hopeful that cleans it up. But this is not a White House that wants to have any conversation about cocaine, where it was, for obvious reasons. It's not a good look for any White House, but especially this one, with all the conspiracy theories that are surrounding this issue.
Incredibly irresponsible to ask the question. How could you even bring that up? How dare you? They all know the way CNN that hosts. So we may never know who did this. Correct. Okay. Not a big deal. These people. And then if it's Donald Trump, if it's, you know, walking slowly down the ramp when it's wet, that's days and days of coverage. That's 25th Amendment stuff. And then Joe Biden, his family can get away with all of these things and the media just brush it off. That's all right if we never know who brought that in. Like I said, dead giveaway who that belongs to. And it's not the first time the FBI and the Secret Service ran to Hunter Biden's defense in that gun incident where he illegally had a gun. The FBI knew that. And then he illegally dumps it in a trash can on, I think it was right across the street from a public school. That's illegal. Once the local police found that gun, the FBI swooped in, grabbed it, buried that whole thing really quick. It's like they're trained. It's, okay, we got to go babysit Hunter again. What crazy things is he going to get into? We got to run off and take care of him. And the taxpayer pays for that security for him. I think they rent like a $30,000 a month mansion in Malibu so they can be next to one of his residences. Speaking of the Hunter Biden cover-up, we know we've covered the cushy plea deal that he was given by Attorney General David Weiss. And Chuck Grassley and these other senators, they want to understand why did you go so soft on him? Why did it take 5 years for you to file charges for this petty little tax crime that any of us could have figured out was a violation right when we started? I mean, that could have taken 2 days. I said 5 years, that's all you have? Chuck Grassley wrote this letter just yesterday. This is to David Weiss, the AG who charged him. He says, as you are aware, IRS whistleblowers have affirmed that Assistant United States Attorney Naomi Wolf, sorry, not Naomi, I forgot to put her first name in here, Assistant U.S. Attorney Wolf, prevented investigators from seeking information about Joe Biden's involvement in Hunter Biden's criminal business arrangements. Wolf frustrated investigative efforts to question Bob Walker about Joe Biden. Wolf admitted that more than enough probable cause had been achieved for a physical search warrant at Joe Biden's guest house, but prevented it from happening due to optics. Wolf also prevented investigators from searching Hunter Biden's storage unit. Wolf called Hunter Biden's defense counsel, informing him of the interest in the storage unit. Did Wolf take similar proactive measures to frustrate any investigation into their desire to get that FBI summary from the whistleblower? So you have an attorney obstructing justice in one of the highest investigations in the country. Another Jim Comey, another Andrew McCabe, obstructing justice. They were tipping off Hunter Biden and his lawyers, as David Weiss is trying to do something. This lawyer gets on the phone and says, hey, this is what they're thinking. And the implication is, go clean it up before they get there. And in both of those cases, she's working to stall that investigation and does it successfully. But there won't be a special counsel to investigate them. I mean, we know how that goes. Horowitz was there, Bill Barr and John Durham. They didn't want to do it. Just the news. IRS whistleblower's lawyer says Washington Post could become accessory to Hunter Biden legal team. This is the Post. Now they're going after this IRS whistleblower. His name is Shapley. They're saying that he was leaking stories to them. And you know, he's violating the IRS code there in doing that. And now Shapley has to battle them. And really for him, it's welcome to the party. When you're fighting for the truth, when you're trying to expose the deep state, they will smear you. They will come after you. They will lie about you. Ask Michael Flynn. Ask all of those guys who were entrapped, who got entrapped in process crimes, in an investigation where the FBI manufactured a predicate. There's no limit on what they will do to Donald Trump or anyone affiliated with him. It's all about upholding the rules, upholding the law. Ignore all that stuff we talked about earlier in the show, though. Sex trafficking, the cocaine, all the Hunter Biden scandals, you know, Joe Biden taking the boxes. That's fine. But then when it comes to the Trump family, when it comes to an IRS whistleblower, if the comma is in the wrong spot, if the emphasis in their speech is in the wrong place, Russia collusion, that's that the Trump speech, that's what the FBI uses. Donald Trump saying, Putin, if you're listening, or Russia, if you're listening, where are the other emails? Clearly a joke. That was evidence that he was colluding with Russia. If you speak the wrong way, if you look the wrong way, they'll come after you. Politico reports, Trump special prosecutor Jack Smith probe spent over $9 million so far. The special prosecutor pressing a criminal case against Trump has spent over $9 million in costs. Smith has tallied about $5.4 million in personnel, rent, and other expenses on his own budget and prompted about $3.8 million in spending by other Justice Department agencies. Taxpayer funded. I don't know how they're living it up when they do these investigations. I know they've got to travel all over the place. I bet they stay in wonderful hotels. I bet they call Pete Buttigieg and make sure that they've got the private jets taking them wherever they want to go. $9 million so far, funded by you. A witch hunt brought to you or funded by the U.S. taxpayers, because Joe Biden and all of them, they know that's really how you want your money to be used. Speaking of money, I forgot how great the economy is doing. Joe Biden said it's great and that we're all prospering and this is the best economy ever. And just ignore what you see with your own eyes. Ignore your own budget. Just Joe Biden tells you it's great. So it is great. Don't believe your lying eyes. Listen to this little montage here, clip three.
Let's start there. It must mean some of this stuff is popular even in those red districts or states if they want to be associated with it. What's the White House response, though, to the double talk?
And I love it. You said it at the top, the receipts, right? The Bidenomics is working. It is actually working. You see that in a jobs report. And I think one of the most important ways that it's clear that you see it is when you have congressional Republicans, as you stated at the top, who voted no for many of these key signature economic policies. And then they go back to their district or to their state and brag about the work that the president and congressional Democrats have done. And all of these things are part of Bidenomics. All of these things are part of what the economic policy that the president has put forward. And let's not forget, when he walked into the administration, the economy was at a free fall.
Yeah.
Trickle-down economics represented the moment we walked away from how this country was built in the first place. Bidenomics is just the other way around. Restoring the American dream. 40 years of trickle-down economics limit the dream to those at the top. I believe that every American willing to work hard should be able to get a good job, afford good health care, no matter where they live, in every part of the country, if they're willing to work. That's the American dream. That's Bidenomics.
The American public is not feeling it. Just 34% of Americans approve of Biden's handling of the economy in a recent AP poll that was released at the end of June. And only 20% of voters believe the nation is on the right track, though voters have not felt good about the direction of the country for over a decade. And Biden is trying to persuade voters that the economy is better than they think it is.
He's trying to persuade voters that the economy is better than they think it is. He's failing to convince them. The arrogance of that Joe Biden clip. Bidenomics is the opposite of that. I mean, he just names it after himself. Essentially, Bidenomics is the American dream. If you want to fulfill the American dream, that's Bidenomics. Whatever it is, I don't even understand. I've read it, and I don't get what they're doing that's any different than the regular Marxist agenda. And then they've got that section in there about the Republicans, you know, celebrating this aspect of the infrastructure bill that they voted against. And, you know, that's a huge get for the Democrats to see them do that. Well, I mean, you look at how those spending bills work. Most of it, you probably don't want to vote for it. And then you slip the thing in there that you want. And it's this huge back and forth of compromising to get the thing that you want. So I suspect, I haven't looked into it because those things are thousands of pages long. I suspect the ones bragging about getting the broadband brought to their area, they voted no because there's so much other useless pork in the bill, but they actually wanted that aspect of it. So they got it and they're celebrating it. And the Democrats say, ha, they're out there celebrating something that they voted against. Again, just a totally broken system here. Speaking of just how broken and insane things are. Oh, this one actually has insane in the topic or title. Fox News, insane California green energy rules could wreck trucking industry. Talks about the details of how the EPA made this exemption for California to create its own rules regulating emission standards for trucks. And California is so big, so critical to global trade, really, that this will impact the entire trucking industry and really start to impact all of the things that we have, pushing prices up even higher. You look at these illogical things, and it's so clearly an attack on the United States. You can't stand there and say, well, this is being done to make America stronger. This is being done so that America is in a better position to stand up to its enemies. Look at how China benefits from these things. This is Mr. Gerald Fleury in August 2017. What the Paris Climate Agreement was really about says, environmental regulation gives significantly more power to bureaucrats. The governments most in favor of confronting climate change are the socialist Marxist-type governments that want to control everything. Most of the money collected for climate change initiatives goes to these types of governments. And then it talks about that deal Obama got us in where America made all of these pledges and it would really hurt our economy, and China pretty much agreed to do nothing. It is to hurt the United States. Mr. Fleury writes in that article, this is so often the case with agreements like this one. Other nations cheat while America is expected to keep all its pledges immediately. And then you probably saw the clips from Janet Yellen visiting China. I think Anthony Blinken was over there a couple weeks ago and just looked like a total coward when he would shake the hand of those Chinese diplomats. And then Janet Yellen gets over there and she can't stop bowing to them, like incessantly. She's just doing it over and over again. These are the people the United States are sending over there to, you know, project a powerful, strong America. This is clip four. Just notice, sorry, Janet Yellen, the subject matter of what the CNN host is talking about isn't that relevant. But look at the video clip of how much Yellen just keeps bowing to them. Clip four.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen begins a visit to Beijing today. The White House says Yellen is there to discuss U.S. national security interests, strategies for fostering mutually beneficial growth, and ways for the United States and China to cooperate on global challenges like climate change and debt distress.
Well, Willie, the Treasury Secretary has arrived in the past hour here in Beijing. Over the next 4 days, she's expected to meet with President Xi Jinping's new economics team, many of whom are not familiar to her or to the Biden administration. She's been hit hard, especially after then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan, angering Beijing about a year ago. Now, based on official commentary as well as state media reports, the Chinese are looking for what they call signs of U.S. sincerity. So this would be some combination of a reduction or an end of Trump-era tariffs on Chinese goods, lifting sanctions on Chinese companies and individuals.
The United States does not seek a wholesale separation of our economies. We seek to diversify and not to decouple. A decoupling of the world's two largest economies would be destabilizing for the global economy, and it would be virtually impossible to undertake.
Basically going over there and saying, just keep doing what you're doing. We're really not going to retaliate in any way. Like the host said, they're going over there to kind of ease tensions by just bowing to them, bowing to the communists in China that want to bring down the United States, going over there to discuss climate change spending. What other policies would you like us to implement that will hurt our economy and make you stronger? I mean, those are America's leaders going over there, and they can't even stand up straight and act like they've got an even footing. It's not even, it should be higher. Just keep bowing to them, selling out our country. This is the Wall Street Journal. Investors bought nearly $1 billion in land near a California Air Force base. Officials want to know who exactly they are. Now, these investors say they're based in Britain and Ireland. It's all of these Western nations. When you look at this tactic of buying up land, I didn't look into all of the details of these investors, but very often they can say they're a British company, but they're owned by China. Or they can say they're an American company, but they're owned by China. Or the biggest shareholder in that American-based company is a Chinese company, and they own, you know, 90% of the company or whatever. But technically, it's a U.S. company, totally funded and operated, though, by the communists in China. This is a trend that's been going on in the United States for years. This is Politico. China is buying up American farms. Washington wants to crack down. Why is the United States allowing its enemies to buy critical pieces of infrastructure? We talk at the Trumpet a lot about even the Panama Canal. That should belong to the United States. And I think it was the 90s with Bill Clinton, just gave it up for China to buy. The enemies possess the gates. You have to understand United States and Britain in prophecy. Realize the curses besetting our nations. Oh, only the modern descendants of Israel would be that naive enough, would sell out their nation like this so they can enrich themselves. Amos 6 talks a lot about that. Isaiah 3 in verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. I wanted to get into another article here. I don't have a ton of time for it. It's about all of the COVID censorship that happened over the last 3 years. And I wanted to just precede that with another verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 59 and verse 4 says, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. None pleads for truth. This article at the Journal, it's titled, COVID Censorship Proved to Be Deadly. The way that doctors were intimidated into silence, that cost people their lives. It says, social media platforms were powerful tools for full-spectrum censorship, but they didn't act alone. Medical schools, medical boards, science journals, and legacy media sang from the same hymnal. And that comes, again, from Wuhan. It comes from China. That sort of censorship, the way they would clamp down on dissent. Legions of doctors stayed quiet after witnessing the demonization of their peers who challenged the COVID orthodoxy. A little censorship leads people to watch what they say. Millions of patients and citizens were deprived of important insights as a result. We heard in that same message over the weekend on Saturday about how Canada, they would make a spectacle out of a couple of the rebels to intimidate the rest of them. They would arrest them in public, make sure that they were on TV with their handcuffs on, make sure that they were arrested with the cameras rolling. The huge crackdown. They would close people's bank accounts. They would advertise, publicize people's addresses if they donated $20 to the trucker convoy to scare everyone else into silence. It says the U.S. government spent $6 trillion to buoy its shuttered economy, and most people got COVID anyway. Worst of all, the lockdowns and mandates resulted in the unprecedented bad health outcomes for young and middle-aged people in rich countries. It goes into a lot of the details about how much worse it is right now with people dying, and you don't see any coverage of it. I don't have a ton of time to get into all of this. It says excess mortality in most high-income nations was worse in 2021 and 2022 than in 2020, the initial pandemic year. Many poorer nations with less government control seemed to fare better. God is exposing a lot of this. That author acts as though, well, because we have the internet and modern technology, it's harder to lie. Well, the lies just keep coming. They have power. I wanted to conclude with a longer quote from America Under Attack about reacting to what God exposes, reacting to the sins in this country. He says, God has given America incomparable blessings, and he wants to continue to bless us, but he cannot do so while we live in rebellion against him. He is correcting us as a father who loves his children. 2 Kings 14, verse 27 indicates that even if we fail to repent collectively, in his mercy, God will ensure that the name of Israel is not blotted out. He is going to save America just as he saved our ancestors by the hand of Jeroboam temporarily. Says the Bible provides the keys to understand these otherwise incomprehensible events. As Amos 3 verse 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God explains all these truths so we can recognize what is happening, heed his warnings, and turn from our sins. He also gives the outline of where these events will lead, so we can see God's hand in what is happening as events unfold according to his prophecies. Every American needs to recognize this and act on it. Regardless of what happens nationally, God gives you the power and the choice to do so individually. That is all we have time for on today's show. Request America Under Attack. Request the United States and Britain in Prophecy. You can do that for free. Just email us, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.